Welcome back to the Monday Q Review. Is that what we're calling this? Monday Q Review. And
review, not review.
Yeah, it's time. I'm pretty tired. We are not known for doing a lot of things consecutively in a row. And this is, I think, our fourth in a row. Like, we've actually been on it, Mark. Welcome to the fourth edition of Monday Q Review.
Thank you. I'm happy that we're doing this consistently. I'm happy to see you. This is just a great way for us to connect, because we don't talk often enough on the phone.
No.
But this is the only chance I get to see your face, and you look tired. I'm not going to lie. You're wearing glasses, but behind the glasses, it looks like your eyes are melting a little bit.
Yeah, Sydney Frank has taken a whole shitload out of me. We're going to be honest. It might have taken more out of Mark as my pseudo counselor slash now partial writer of the Sydney Frank story that I know we've said this a million times, but really it's going to be out next week. Really. It's for
sure. It's really happening this time.
It's really happening.
Here's how it's gone. We actually do have a draft finished. Well, it's not finished, but it's very close. So Ryan almost completed a draft, and then unfortunately for him, let me read it. And I offered some suggestions, and then he implemented said suggestions, and then I went back and made more suggestions. He implemented those suggestions, and I made more. And then we didn't have an ending, so he tried to mold an ending, and then I came in and added one. We're not sure if it's perfect yet, but it's close. We're close. Yeah. We're close enough where we can definitively say that next week is going to be the week for the Grey Goose Sydney Frank rollicking wild ride story.
Yeah. And T's and P's to our Mark's a very good editor, but T's and P's to Mark Godich for give him a full edit.
Yeah. Hail Mary, we're leaning on him heavily.
Yeah. So that is really coming out finally. Mark, let's start on the ladies' side. The LPGA, Nelly Korda's run. What a time in golf on the PGA Tour and the LPGA. I mean, Scotty has won 4 of 5, finished second, and that's not the best record in golf right now. That's how good Nelly has been.
Yeah, we need to come up with some new descriptions of it, because impressive, historic just doesn't really do it justice, right? I mean, it is absolutely earth-shattering. And Scotty was asked about it, the Heritage, and he just said, you know, if we're looking at this as a competition between us, I think that, you know, she's kicking my ass right now. And then he said, but I don't know how she finished T16 to start the year. That was a very poor performance out of her. But no, it's incredible. I mean, it feels like since Augusta, professional golf, you know, obviously their run started pre Augusta, but what it's led into it feels like a revitalization, like a reassembly of the game and the fans' interest.
Yeah, it has been. It's been a long time for Mark and I, all of golf media, that at the end of every week, I'm just like, oh, it's so tiring. You know, we cover golf. I'm not saying tiring, like physically, it's just you get so tired of the negativity, the live versus PGA Tour and golf is dying. And we're part of that. We say that too. But it's like, I agree with you, Mark. This week was like, man, it was fun. I've said it before. I don't watch signature events. I literally, this is not an exaggeration, I'm not trying to brag, did not see a single shot of the RBC. I didn't see a single shot. Now I can do that and still recognize how great Scotty is. But I watched Nelly. That was fun. It was great to see Lauren Coughlin, who's been a friend of us, and her husband, who's now on the bag, quit his job to caddy for her. She's like, there's just not many grinders on the LPGA Tour. she is in that group and finishing third, her career best at a major. Awesome to see. But yeah, it's just an awesome time. It was an awesome couple of weeks in golf.
I received a text today from somebody who he loves golf and he's been a big supporter of mine, but he said something that was interesting, that golf, he's tuned into golf more lately than he ever has. But he just asked, how are players like Scottie, Scheffler, Nelly, how are they just so in this zone, in this bubble where he said, you know, are they on something? Are they medicated? Like, how are they that focused and able to stay so even keel? And I said, you know, I think some of us would need to be medicated to be in that zone, but they're on a different, just vibrating on a different frequency right now. And when you see players like that, you can describe it as boring because it's so robotic and beautiful. And I think Homa said that you could delude yourself into believing as a player that you could play like that. But it, you know, it's just driving range golf, essentially. Like, you're watching a tremendous amount of pressure coming in. She really wanted to close the chevron. And it's amazing watching as a fan because, you know, it's like that old Will Ferrell Welshly Arms SNL skit. It's like the surface of the hot tub is, you know, a very calm, placid surface. But underneath at the Welshly Arms, it's bubbling and there's all sorts of frenzied, fanatic activity. But, you know, you got to keep that at bay. And they just make it look so effortless and easy. It's beautiful.
And I know that, you know, in the women's game, your career starts when you're young. Your pro career starts when you're younger. Everything's kind of moved up. But I was looking at her record to do a tweet, and on her Wikipedia page, it like just stuck out that she's 25 years old. 25. It's like you feel like she's been around forever. And obviously, again, it's part of the women's side. They generally start their pro career. But I don't know what I would have guessed, but it wouldn't have been 25. And so there is a bright, bright future ahead for women's golf. It's a good time. Yeah, it's a good time. Let's change the positivity to the opposite field event, which I love, and discuss, Mark, Billy Horschel, him being there and his place in the opposite field world based on some of the things that he has said in the past. He has been critical of how many cards are given out. Basically, didn't say this directly, but definitely inferred that events like the opposite field events shouldn't really exist. Said actual quotes of like, you should work harder. That's a paraphrase. If you're 90th in points, are you just happy to be there? So it was very ironic that Billy Horschel won an opposite field event to me.
I see that side of it. And yeah, it's interesting because yeah, Billy seems like he, on the one hand, goes and has a whole bunch of players that he supports and he goes out to Q school and walks around and cheers players on. So he obviously understands the grind of it, but then you go back to those comments and you know, they can be a little bit nauseating. But you can either say it's ironic that he won, or you can say that maybe it's great for his career, or that he dominated won an opposite field event. Maybe he, you know, doesn't necessarily belong there. You could look at it from all of those angles, but I think the bottom line is hopefully now that he's been there and he's whatever 90th in points or was, you know, you just hope that people can learn. And they can have a more maybe full spectrum perspective and opinion. And it'll be interesting to see what he says about, well, I'm sure he'll be asked about to revisit those comments and whether they change at all.
Yeah. I'm working on an article about it. And then I wrote it partly. And then I was like, I got to get Billy's perspective. I got to give him a chance to say like, hey, whatever he wants to say. But again, I love opposite of field events for that exact reason. Going into Sunday, it was like Bill Haas, two former FedEx champions. Bill has obviously battled injuries and had a car accident and all of those things, and hasn't even made it. He's only played three events, but hadn't made a cut. He was near the lead. Kevin Tway was near the lead. And then you have young guys like Parker Coody, who probably going to be, has the potential to be a star. You have guys that Mark and I love, like Justin Lauer, been grinding forever. Like that is what, and I have no problem with Billy winning because Billy's earned his spot on the PGA Tour and he needs to jumpstart his career. He had a bad year and a half. That's what those events are for. So I hope that, like you said, Mark, I hope he gains perspective because in 2021, he was 18th in the world. He had just won a WGC that year, beat Scottie Scheffler, by the way, in the match play final. And I hope he has some perspective. He had a bad year. He talked about, I know how hard I work. Maybe those guys don't work hard enough. So my questions will be, how hard were you working last year when you didn't struggle? And again, give him the chance to kind of, get some perspective on what has happened. Enough with Billy. We'll talk about him. Great opposite field event. Justin played well, as always, great. The Monday, there was Monday Q for the Korn Ferry event today. Among the eight players are Carl, I wish I knew how to say his name. He's from Norway. He plays for Texas Tech. He played with Ludvig. Carl Fosas, Fosaas. Well, he shot 29 on the front. Had seven birdies in a row.
Fosas?
Sure. Sean Walsh has been on, played in the Good Championship with Luke Kwan. I know he's been on his YouTube channel a lot. Will Chandler.
Yeah, Sean has the sunglasses, the Hollywood sunglasses to match the good boys.
Yeah. Will Chandler, David Bradshaw. I tell this every time David gets through. David has won 12 West Virginia Opens and finished second like another five times, and he's only like 38 years old. Dylan Meyer, friend of Monday Q, always good to us, was in the old Kamayu fight today, defending myself. But Dylan, All-American at Illinois, had a great career there, has battled some health issues. Good to see him play well. He is a conditional member, so all of these events are important. Hunter Eichhorn, Matt Atkins, who's going to join us in a minute, and Griffin Wood are the eight Monday qualifiers. And without further ado, we will.
We should add, let me add here, Ryan, that Hunter Eichhorn, who got through last year, he had two impressive opening rounds, and I think he was in contention before flatlining through the weekend. But this is the event where Spencer Levine Mondayed into the event and then won.
Oh, good call.
Totally changed the course of his
goat situation.
Career. Yeah. Always good to have a goat sighting.
Yeah. While we wait for Matt, we'll talk with him about it, but it's awesome to see Matt get through because he's missed at two PG. I mean, he's played great. Did the RSM. I mean, he's played probably some of the best Monday Q golf over the last year, probably the best, but has missed in two in a row PGA Tour Mondays prior to this. So to come back and do it again, Mark, you can kind of speak to how deflating those, like when you miss closely, how hard they can be. So here comes Matt. Hey, Matt.
What's up, guys?
How's it going, man? Congratulations.
Thank you. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, sounds good. Gotcha. Yeah, we'll just keep you short, Matt. We were just talking, Matt. You lost in two playoffs on the PGA Tour Mondays, and like, I assume that that can be motivating on one hand, but also deflating when you're so close. Do you take, once you're away from it, Matt, you take it as like, you know, you're playing really well, and so it gives you confidence coming into this week?
Yeah, it's like, it's interesting because my season this year is Monday qualifiers, you know, so we obviously all know how difficult it is to get through a qualifier. And so when you're playing well and you have a chance to get through, you don't really want to let it slip by because there's only four guys, you know. So the playoff in the Houston qualifier stung because I played that hole so poorly from after my tee ball. And it was a 4-for-3, and I ended up being the guy that got eliminated. I made an awful bogey. And that one kind of stung. But, yeah, it's been kind of tough to manage the mentality. I just try to stay positive. I went into this year not knowing what the heck was going to happen. I was just going to be doing qualifiers. I could never play an event all season. I didn't know what my year was going to look like. And I'm kind of just trying to attack it the best way I can as far as playing in the most qualifiers I can, giving myself the most opportunities. And so it definitely stung a little bit, not getting through those ones where I felt like I was playing good. But I feel like my game's been right there. It's been ready. The putter's been a little shaky so far this year, and I've been working hard on that, and it felt better today. So I feel more prepared this week than I did the other ones. It sounds weird to say I didn't putt very good and was in a playoff for Monday qualifiers, because usually you got to shoot like some good score, but that's just honestly how it was. But yeah, I've tried to keep it positive. But yeah, it can be a little demoralizing because you're like, dang man, like you're not going to get 100 chances. You know, it's like these things don't happen a whole lot because there's only four people. So it's like, if you find yourself in the hunt, you kind of want to capitalize on it. But yeah, I've actually done four Monday qualifiers in the state of Texas this year. The Mexico Open one was in Texas, and then yep. Houston Open, Valero, and this. I've been in four playoffs in the four Monday qualifiers that I've done in Texas. So I'm happy that I didn't go 1-for-4, and now it's 2-for-4. So
yeah, man, Matt, it feels like every week you've been in a playoff, and you've played some unbelievably solid golf since the end of last year. When you talk about a Houston playoff where, if I'm remembering right, you had like a 15-footer for birdie and then Ryan Gibson chips in on you. Was that the Houston playoff?
Yeah. I mean, I probably had more like 25 feet.
Okay.
And yeah, Ryan was off the green and Emilio and Sung Kang hit a pretty good shot in there, like 10 feet or so. And then Emilio was like maybe like 18 feet or something. And yeah, Ryan hit a nice pitch shot and it went in. But that, I mean, that had no bearing on, like, what I did. Because I was expecting, like, hey, man, you need to make birdies. Now, you're not always thinking that he's going to chip in. But it's like, how I played the hole, it didn't matter what those guys did. I played it. Like, I kind of chunked my wedge a little bit. Had 25 feet. Left my putt, like, 7 feet short. It was terrible. And missed. I mean, and I didn't even hit a good putt on my next putt. I was kind of yipping it around there. So, but yeah, that's what happened in the Houston one. That was the one that Ryan chipped in on. Yeah.
So how do you go from that, Matt? Like, it's so important for all golfers, especially professional golfers, but to our listeners as well. Like, how do you have a short memory and overcome that stuff and still say, when you tee it up today, be like, this is an opportunity. I'm excited to be here. And then what does it feel when you kind of break through it and get through one of these things like you did today?
Yeah, like you said, this year is interesting because, like, the Monday qualifiers that I've done in the past are usually, like, off-season ones, you know, for, like, the fall events on the PGA Tour. I've done a few Korn Ferry Tour ones now over the last few years where I've been just a conditional member trying to get starts. So, like, the mentality going into it is maybe, like, slightly different. I do have experience. I've played a lot of golf tournaments between the PGA Tour and the Korn Ferry Tour. And a lot of the guys that are doing Mondays are mini tour guys, conditional guys that have maybe played a year or two. You know, there's some guys like myself or whatever. But yeah, it definitely is. That's how I look at it. It's an opportunity, and I've really grown a lot in that area because I've never teed it up in a Monday thinking I just got to go flag hunting. I've never played Monday qualifiers like that. But it can be frustrating when you're just not playing your best golf, or you play okay and you shoot like two under and you're like, well, I mean, it was pointless day. Like, thanks for showing up. A solid round. Could have built off this for tomorrow, but there is no tomorrow. So, I mean, it can get super, super frustrating, and I've grown a lot in that area, and I've gone into this year knowing that, and even last year, honestly, but going into this year, I've definitely looked at it from the perspective of everything that's happened over the last 7-8 years has been a learning experience. It's kind of sculpted me and molded me as a human off the course, and sculpted me as a professional golfer and the mindset that I need to kind of carry and figure out why I'm playing this game. There's been a lot of questions answered through that. And so I'm just trying to kind of faithfully walk down this journey of playing professional golf. And this year is definitely more of like a thankfulness and a gratefulness and just like, man, I'm just happy to be here. We were riding on the carts to the 18th tee in the playoff. And I was just, you know, honestly, I literally said, Lord, thank you for this opportunity. It's been amazing. Your will is going to be done. I can't control it. Thank you for this. If I get through, that's how it's supposed to be. If it's somebody else, it's obviously part of their story because I'm not the only one here. You know what I mean? So, I was just extremely grateful and thankful. And whereas, you know, it's a very selfish game. And so it's very easy to just get caught up in you. And obviously I wanted to qualify. It doesn't take away from my competitiveness, but it's kind of like if it happens, it was meant to be. If not, you know, it wasn't meant to be. I'm just going to give it my all. And, yeah, I just felt very kind of not like, I guess, freed up, but I was just comfortable. It was just like, I'm right where I need to be. And if I qualify, great. If not, sure. It's going to be like, there's going to be that moment of like, man, like, why? Like, why does this keep happening? But I've learned over the last couple of years to not question it so much because the journey has never led me to a place where I can't provide for my family. Like, it was getting there, but you know, then the RSM happened and stuff like that. So it's just like, stop questioning, you know, and just kind of just keep walking and it'll be fine.
Now, for those of us, just really quick, Ryan, then you can join. For our listeners here, Matt is joining us from the confines of his car. He's pulled over. Maybe he's under an overpass here. He's drinking a protein shake, which is probably his dinner. Oh, he's Pedialyte.
Okay,
he's going to go ahead and rehydrate here, but it looks like he's there. Maybe a Papagino's back there. I think there's a guy walking. Maybe he's looking.
Who knows what's behind me?
Monday Q towel.
Yeah.
Look into the post Monday Q success, but
like trying to figure out where he's going to stay for the week, who he's going to.
I've got, you know, the caddy situation dialed. I've got a practice round group set up for tomorrow. You know, the short time after the playoffs over it's always funny because it's text messages, it's phone calls, it's a lot of organizing, and it's like, that's what's kind of like, man, like, hey, forgive me if I don't get back to you right away, because it's like there's a lot of stuff, you know, that you're figuring out. But I do have a place that I had a place to stay regardless. I'm actually funny enough, I'm staying with one of the Brian Bros Discord members. Out here, so you know,
free place to stay is nice.
So, yeah, that's great. Yeah. So,
Mark reminded me before you came on that last year, the GOAT Spencer Levine Monday qualified and won this event. So
he did win this event. Yes.
Yeah. So we might as well keep that tradition going. So congratulations, man. Thanks for jumping on. I know it's hectic Monday nights, and
thank you. Hopefully, I'll be chatting with you next week as well as after the Byron Monday.
Might as well. No, or just win this and then stay on the Corn Ferry for a while.
Well, the Corn Ferry doesn't play till like mid-May, so I'm going to do the Byron Monday.
Fair enough. All
right, same time next week. It's a date.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Matt. See you later.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Man, him putting in perspective of the four that he's played in Texas and he's been in the playoff in all four is some pretty impressive golf.
Yeah, it really is. Dude has practically become a Texas resident this spring.
That's ridiculous. No money. Oh, I did see that there is a Monday for the CJ Cup next week.
Really? Interesting.
No idea. Had no idea. So that's it. That's all I know.
Okay. And there was one more Monday today.
Yes. Shout out to Lisa Cronwell, who has helped us get in connection with the LPGA. The LPGA and Monday qualifiers, they just haven't had a lot of media around it. So the leaderboard never updated playoffs. But now Lisa got us in connection with someone at the tour who sends us updates. The hole by hole is not working yet. It usually is, but it's not. But Sydney Clanton and Jennifer Kang both got through. I've said this about the LPGA a lot, but for those that don't know, an advantage of what the LPGA does for Mondays is they play it on the host course. It's a limited field, but very nice part about it is you've already played the course. If you're a rookie, you get through, it's basically a practice round, a competitive practice round. So you get one more day because just like on the PGA Tour, Wednesday you can't get on the course because of the Pro-Am. So Tuesday you can play maybe nine holes if you're tired and walk nine or something like that and then take Wednesday off. I don't like the fact that it's limited field, but I do like the fact that they play it. It's a very nice advantage once you get through that it's on the tournament course.
Presumably that they would have access to the course on Sunday. Do you know anything about that? Do they get a practice round Sunday and get to play Monday, obviously?
Yeah, they do have it usually in the afternoon, but yeah, they have access to it Sunday afternoon, get the practice round in, and then play Monday. So yeah, good point, Mark. You're ahead. Like for Sydney and Jennifer, already probably played the course twice. So could play nine holes Tuesday, take Wednesday off, and be rested for Thursday, which is very unusual for Monday qualifiers on the PGA Tour because Tuesday's a very hectic day. You have to play 18 most of the time and then take Wednesday off. So
it's such a great practice round. It's so much better than a practice round, too. Having a Monday qualifier on the tournament course, you get to feel the pressure of hitting these shots before the tournament, and it won't feel so foreign. It's like the best simulation there is. But Jennifer Chang played at USC. So presumably, she, being in LA, she would have played this course a bunch as Wilshire Country Club. I believe it's a pretty old golf course. I don't think it's very long. And Sydney Clanton is a former LPGA winner. She's bounced back and forth, I believe, mainly on the LPGA Tour, but has played quite a few Epson in recent years, but won the 2019 Dow Great Lakes Bay Invitational, which that's the partner event, isn't it, Rod?
That's a team event, yeah.
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 Yeah. Well, so she's no stranger to pressure, and she's 34, and she's, you know, you might call her a grinder of the LPGA. So we love her. We're big fans, and we actually tried to connect with her tonight, but we couldn't find her social media. So, Sydney, you have an open invitation for after your success this week.
Yeah, and the LPGA has a top 10 rule new this year or last year. I can't remember. It's very new for non-member sponsor invites. It used to be you didn't get through, and now you do. Greg Chalmers, Clark Dennis last week. Greg Chalmers finished 12th. The champions event was 12, limited to 36 holes. Greg Chalmers has made a run, but he's playing the qualifier tomorrow. You're listening to it Tuesday, so today. Clark Dennis, 58 years old, Monday qualified, shot 29 on the front the opening day. And a good look into the Champions Tour, you have to be the first person who's not a member in the top 10 to get through. Thomas Bjorn, not a member, finished above Clark, but he had a sponsor invite into this week's event. And so Clark finished eighth and asked for Thomas Bjorn's sponsor invite and got his spot. So Clark Dennis is through to the next. I hope
that's some Monopoly shit right there.
Yeah, it is.
Some wheeling and dealing.
That is some wheeling and dealing. I hope Greg gets some exemptions. They're hard to come by on the Champions Tour, and quite frankly, he deserves it. He'll probably get through the Monday and win anyway eventually, but we're big fans of Greg. Greg's a good dude. Mark's playing an Asher Tour event tomorrow. Editing pods. He's in a fucking one bedroom, one studio life. There's writing on the wall with markers. I mean,
it's $51 a night here in Tucson.
Wow.
And hold on. Let me just read this to you. I'm taking the mic, so you're going to get a little bit of some reverberation here. But people write all over the wall here as kind of their, you know, it's like a guest book, right? But you can write it on the wall with a Sharpie. So there's one that says, Vitus the Mad Pirate and Brooke the Belly Dancer, thanks for a great stay. What do you think transpired in this studio that I'm currently in?
Oh my God.
What happened between the pirate and the belly dancer? Fire eating?
What the hell? You think they're married?
No. They're shacking up. Right.
Yeah, okay.
That's why they're not using their
$51 a night for real?
Yeah, 51. Yep. And can't beat it. I mean
that's great.
I wouldn't say we're in the best part of town, the best part of Tucson.
Yeah.
But I'm willing to, you know, I'm willing to go slumming for that price.
Amen, buddy. Amen.
This ain't the tour.
You ain't on the PGA Tour. $51 a night, can't go wrong. Mark's at the Asher event. 71 players in Tucson. Staying at a place that a belly dancer stayed. Mark, we're 4 weeks into every Monday. This is a record. This is a record.
Let's keep it going.
All right. See you later, everybody. See you next week.
Thanks for listening, friends. Bye-bye. Our theme music is composed by Alicia Beats. The song is called Titanium, and it can be found on pixabay.com.